The following Daf Yomi recording begins with today's Daf from the 13th International Cycle. It's followed by a very fast review of the Daf that allows you to listen to the whole Daf within 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by exactly the same Daf at greater length, deeper explanations, and with a completely different group of people, either from the previous 12 cycle or even the 11th, and sometimes even the 10th. Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, is daf Tet Zayin, and we had just gotten up to Matan Midot, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, on the sixth line of Tet Zayin. So basically, what happened was we interjected in the middle of Masechet Yoma something that really has nothing to do with Yoma on the surface, and simply continues the sugya that we had been in the middle of, where we were asking contradictions between the Mishnah in Tamid and the Mishnah in Yoma. And we ended up saying that Yoma is going according to Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzpah, whereas the Mishnah in Tamid was going Alibet HaChomim. So because of that, we interjected with another problem, which showed contradictions also, not only between Tamid and Yoma, but between Tamid and Midot. And we dealt with the contradiction in the same way by saying that the author of Masechet Midot is actually a Das Yochid, and it's going according to Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. Now, we didn't justify yesterday why we would think specifically that it's Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. So today, the Gemara wants to do that. And so we continue. Man Tana Midot, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, it's not. Ezrat Nashim Haita Orach Me'ash Loshim Hamish, Arochav Me'ash Loshim Hamish. So now looking at our map, the way that we're going to get to show that our Mishnah here in Midot is Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov is simply by proving that by a statement of Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov that's brought in a Mishnah there in Midot, it's obvious that he must be the author of the Mishnah, the Tanakh. But while we do that, the details are not truly important to our sugya, but nonetheless become very central to the inyanim that we're going to be dealing with here, and because of that, let's go through it in detail. So the Mishnah says over there, the Ezrat Nashim was Me'ash Loshim V'Chamesh by Me'ash Loshim V'Chamesh. So it was this space here. Now let's just get the relationship to the directions straight. We're talking about over here the west side, and here is the entrance into the Ezrat Nashim on the east side. And those of you who are listening online, you can simply look at the nice color picture that we have. If Richie would get the color picture, I could get the numbers that they used.
I'm still trying to get this back to where it was.
Why don't you take a regular Gemara? Let me use this for reference. I should have bought mine. I forgot. One second here. So for those of you who are listening online, we enter at the place that is marked 4, and that's the entry into the Ezra's Nashim, and that is on the eastern side, which leads back, all the way back, through the Ezra's Nashim, and through the door that's number 15, which is Shai Miknar, and that cuts straight through, go all the way through the Heichal, to the back, along the Arabaya, down to the Kotel HaMa'aravi. So that would be to orient you to where we are. So where you're standing at the Kotel HaMa'aravi, you're standing behind number 59, but much behind, not directly behind that wall, obviously, but behind the retaining wall of the Har HaBayit, which this Heichal was built on. Now that means that when you'd be looking through all the way to the other side, you'd be facing Har HaZeitim, and that's important to remember. So if there was a hole that took you straight through from 59 all the way through 4, and you could look straight through it, you'd be looking at the hotel on top of Har HaZeitim. And we'll see why that's important to know in our circuit. Right now, we're discussing the area that is here, number 6. And we're talking about 135 by 135 defines the entire area, number 6. Okay, and that includes, you see, the 4 chambers that are on the 4 sides, which are marked here 10, 11, 12, and 13. So now we're going to go through what those chambers are. Again, this only is because we're leading up to the words that teach us that it's Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. So if this is Ezrat Nashim, was 135 by 135. The four lishakot being in the arba miktzoteha on all four sides of the Ezrat Nashim, what purpose did they serve? Uma hayu meshamshot. So dromit mizrachit was the lishkat ha-nizirim. For mizrachit, remember that we are all the way on the side of four. So this is the mizrach. If we are dromit, then we are over on the left side, towards where you'd be coming in, is the dorum. And that would be there for number 10. And hopefully that adds up. And that's the lishkat ha-nizirim. That was called the place of the nizirim. And that was the Lishkat HaNazirim because Shisham Nazirim Mevashlim Et Shalmehem. Remember, there was a special mitzvah to take the El Nazir, give the Ezroah to the coins, and they actually would boil up the Shalmei Nazir, which belonged to the Baalim, except for the Ezroah there, throwing their hair underneath in the fire, which was on the dude. And that would be where they would take their haircuts, and that's where they would throw their hair into the fire that was being used at that point to cook up the meat of the Shalomi. So they called that Lishkas HaNazir. Moving on to the Mizrachit Tzvonit, so we're still near the door, which is four, except that now we're going up to the north to number 11. So Mizrachit Tzvonit, what was the Mizrachit Tzvonit? That was the Lishkat Ha'etzim, because the Bach takes off the word deer, because a deer is not usually the way we refer to Eitzim, although many it's a borrowed term. So that was the storage area for the wood. The reason we needed a special room for this was because it wasn't just a matter of finding a pantry for the wood. We needed Kohanim, dozens of Kohanim, sitting there and doing a very careful check of every single piece of wood that went on the Mizbeach, because over there, the Kohanim Baalei Mumin weren't allowed to do Aveda, would make themselves useful by being Omdim Umatliin Be'etzim. So they would have to make certain there wasn't any infestation in any of the wood, because kol HGHBO tolaat, if there was an insect hole through the wood, then they couldn't use that for the Mizbeah. It was like a mum for the Mizbeah. Tzvonit Ma'aravit, now moving along the northern side and going back towards the Hecha, which means we're now on number 12. What was the Tzvonit Ma'aravit? That was the Tzvonit Ma'aravit was the Lishkata Mitzoraim. Remember that the Mitzoraim had an unusual problem, that is that they had to come in to put their thumbs into the Heichal, into the Zorah, towards the Heichal at doorway number 15. And before, even though they had gone to the Mikvah the night before, it was on the eighth day and so on, but in order to come into the Beis HaMikdash, even though they were only sticking in a thumb, they needed to go to the Mikvah again. So we had a place over there, which was the place where they would go to the Mikvah. They would wait for their turn for their korbanos to be brought and to get the dam sprinkled on their thumbs and their toes.
And that's where the Mikvah was?
Yeah. So this was the Lishkat, it was called the Lishkat Hamitzoraim. And now there was one additional place. And what was that? Well, obviously the only one that's left is Ma'aravit Romit, which is number 13. And Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, darn it, says, I can't remember what it was. Don't remember what it was for. Now, obviously, we don't have much interest in listing the myriad individuals who can't remember what something was for. The only reason he'd be making a statement was because he was the author of everything until now. And so the Mishnah is making it clear that our Tana says, shoot, I can't remember. Yes, obviously that proves thus that the mission is going according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. So there's our proof.
What would he be remembering from?
What he was taught. Yeah. So shechachti ma'ita misham meshit. Abba Shaul omer, I know. Ba'ita ayu natim yayin v'shemen. V'ayita di great lishkat beit shamnaya. That's where wine for the nesachim and shemen that would be used for the menorah. That's where that was stored. And they called it the lishkat beit shamnaya because shemen is very kosher. Now, the fact that, okay, in one place we find that he said a Mishnah, maybe he's not persuasive that every time we have a machloket, we're going to say that, okay, must be that the whole Masechta said only according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. But once we start seeing a pattern, then it becomes mistavra. Nochinami mistavra. That indeed the whole Masechta is said by Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Why? Because we've got another problem. And our other problem, also in Midot, is this. Before we get to it, I'd like to explain to you what the problem is. We were talking about looking through a putative hole from the back all the way through to Har HaZeitim. Now, the reason that you'd be looking at the hotel on Har HaZeitim is because, remember, the back part of the Har HaBayit is the highest part of the Har HaBayit, and therefore it would be looking out at the top area of Har HaZeitim. But as you go down towards the door number 4, you're going downhill until you finally get into the deep valley between the Har HaMoriah and Har HaZeitim, where the road goes now around the back of Shar HaAriyot and so on. And then you climb back up to Har HaZeitim, right? Okay, so basically you have a sine wave, which starts, you're going downhill at the down the wave till the bottom, starting from the back of the Heichal, and then climbing back up again to go back onto Har HaZeitim, which is where you would be doing the Aveda of the Parah Aduma. Why is this important to us? It's important because the Torah says that when the Kohen, who is doing the Aveda, well, we shouldn't call it Aveda, but doing what needs to be done, I mean, it's not Kachim Mizbeach even, it's Kachim Berakabai, but it's doing what needs to be done for the Parah Aduma. We call it Aveda because the Torah calls it a Chatas, but it isn't really a Chatas, because it's miles of a Chatas. He's supposed to turn around on Har HaZeitim and face the doorway of the Heichal. Now you'd say, okay, that's great. I mean, perfect. You look straight across, you're looking at the doorway of the Heichal. There's only one problem, and that is that there was a wall around the Beis HaMikdash, right? And there were a number of different walls. It means he's going to have to worry about seeing the Petach Shel Heichal, despite the fact that there's a wall around the Har HaBayit, and then there's a wall around the Azorah, and he's got to be able to see through those walls, basically, in order to be able to look at the Petach Heichal. So you'll say, well, he doesn't have to see through the walls. The walls had very high gates in them, and those gates were 20 amot high. So 20 amot is pretty tall, you know. So maybe he could see from where he's standing on Har HaZeitim straight to the door and look to the top of the door and be able to see the bottom of the door of the Heichal. Okay, but that's a pretty critical value. And it turns out that that value is so critical that basically it revolves around a half an amma of visibility. And that half an amma, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, is not of help. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, the height difference between 4 and 59 was an additional amma high. And that wipes out that chatzi amma, therefore he couldn't see through the doorway. Because you couldn't see through the doorway, they couldn't build that wall the same height that the walls were normally built, because he'd have to look over the wall in order to be able to see through the gate that he could see. The gate that was at 4, yes, that he could see through. That was not a problem. And that he would be able to look right through, 15. He could look right through 15 and see the actual doorway.
Those of us
who
are not looking at the chart, 15 is
what's going on. 15 is Shar Niknar. Is over here, it's called Yudchet. Oh, no, it's also called 15. I think they took this. Oh, no, is that a Vav? I can't tell. It's Yudchet. Yudchet is that wall. Okay. So that he'd be able to see through. Now to see that inside, so that we'll be able to get this straight. Ditna. Kolak talim shayusham yugovim. All of the walls in the area were very high, except for one. Chutz mikotel mizrachi, except for the wall on the side facing Har HaZeitim to the east. And why is that? Because the Kohen, Hasorif et HaParah, had to be able to stand on Har HaMishcha, which is Har HaZeitim, and mitkavin v'ro'e k'neged petach shel Heichal b'sha'at ha'za'at adam. Since the Torah said, Omu petach o'moed, he had to be looking at the actual opening to the Petach HaHeichal, because he's out, El Nochach Pnei O'Moed, and therefore there would be no way to him to be able to see through that door. And this was the gate of the Har HaBayit, which was outside. It's not on our map, okay? I don't know if we don't have a map of the Har HaBayit. We only have a map of the actual Azores here. But that gate that was all the way out there had to be a low wall, because otherwise he wouldn't be able to see through it. And here's items, and we're going to list a bunch of items, okay? Item 1, item 2, item 3. This is item number 1. Okay, now, here are all the things you got to swallow. Here's your information. Item number 1 was the fact that that wall had to be low. Okay. Item number 2, kol haptachim v'tnan. Furthermore, kol haptachim shayusham, a normal height of the gates, where they were all 20 amot high and 10 amot wide. Okay? Item 3, v'tnan. Lifni mimenu sorek. Which means, once you entered the gate that is not shown on this picture, into the Har HaBayit, you entered, there was an additional soreg, which is a low wall kind of thing. I mean, this is the question of how we, you know, like a mechitza that you use for Nezras Nashim, which has like these little holes in it, you know, sort of a woven mechitza. Yeah, lattice work. So this was the soreg. And then there's next item, v'tnan, the beyond that, lifnimi menu hachel eser amot. You had the area which was called the chel, and that was an additional. They gave additional kedusha to that. That's where they didn't allow goyim already in, and so on.
And that's where the signs were that are still extant, you know, a warning in Greek, any guy who comes in here gets shot, and so on. So that area of the Chel was 10 amot long, 10 amot wide, we would call it long, to somebody who's walking in. And here's where it starts getting interesting, because in those 10 amot, there were 12 stairs within those 12 amot. 12 malot hayusham. Each one of those stairs was a chatzi amah high, room mala chatzi amah, and a chatzi amah in depth. Vishilchatz chatzi amah. Okay, now that gives us, so far, a rise of 6 amot, 12 stairs, chatzi amah apiece, right? Next item. Beyond that point, there were an additional 15 ma'alot, which went from the Ezrat Yisrael down to the Ezrat Nashim, marked here in the picture as number 14 or number Tet Zion, I think, if I can make out the Hebrew correctly, in the Tiferet Yisrael diagram. And you can see those nice-looking stairs, very nice-looking stairs. In the art scroll, they make it look just like a round. Here, they make it look very cute. You know, and those 15 stairs, here, count them, see? 15 stairs. Each one of those, the 15 stairs of the 15 Shir HaMa'alot, right there. Right there, heading up to Shara Nikno. In the Ezrat Nashim, leading down from Ezrat Yisrael. Yeah, if you're coming down, we're going the other direction, going up.
Or leading up.
Yeah, in the direction we're coming, yeah, we're just the way that it puts it. So, okay, now each one of those stairs was also a Chatzi Amah high and a Chatzi Amah in depth, which adds us another 7.5 amot to the 6. Okay, so now we got 13.5 of height from the doorway. Furthermore, item. Beinah olam lumis beach. It was an additional 22 amot, and they contained shteim esrei ma'alot. Now those are the stairs that, in the art scroll diagram, is number 47. Okay, number 47. That's here, right? And in the Tiferet Yisrael is nun gimel, and that's right here. Okay, so those are the stairs that lead up to the ulam. So this gives us an additional, now 6 amot, right? Because we've got shteim esrei ma'alot hayusham. Again, each one of them was room ma'ala chatzi amah v'shulchan chatzi amah. That's 13.5 plus 6, which is 19.5. Ah, perfect! Because 19.5 leaves us a half an amah of the height of the door out of the 20, where our laser beam could go straight through the opening and hit the door of the Heichal. So we're happy, right? We're happy, except for one problem. And that problem is, no, but this is our solution. Vitnan, and here's the critical piece of information. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov adds one additional stair. And that one additional stair messes up our laser beam. But it would explain why we need to have a low wall. If you don't have this additional stair, we don't understand why did that other Mishnah say you need a low wall. But now that we see, the Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, well, there was an additional ma'alah, Tasha. And that ma'alah is the ma'alah that's listed as number 20 here in the art scroll. See, it's got that wide ma'alah, 20. And it was a full amah higher, and it was the area on which you had the duchan, right there, the one that's in the gray, and it had the duchan for the Levim, and the duchan for the Levim had 3 ma'alot, each one of a chatzi amah, because it was a dais that had these 3 levels on it. You would go up there and have the kids on the bottom and so on. But in any event, even assuming, as Rashi does, as many of the Rishonim do, that the duchan was not a raised area for the rest of the way, you walked back down on the other side. I mean, the duchan was there, but it didn't change the height of the entire Ezrat Kohanim. Therefore, we can effectively ignore the Duchan, because anyway, that height was included in the stairs that were going up behind the Mizbeach up to the Heichal. So we don't have to worry about the Duchan. But the extra mala of an Amma, that raised the entire area of the Ezrat Kohanim. So we've got to add, instead of 19.5, we've got 20.5, which effectively rules out being able to fit our laser beam through the top of the gateway, which means the only where we can place, we can fit it, is above the wall. So we have to have the wall low enough that the laser beam, when it goes through, is able to cut through the entrance of Shar Niknar and the entrance to the Mizrach of the Ezras Vashim and get straight through to the door of the Heichal, more towards the top, obviously. But we can't have it going all the way up the way they usually did, 40 amas high and whatever, because that would block it. But because of that, it had to be lower than the other wall. So now we know it's Rav Adabar. It's Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov, because it only works out according to Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov. So, Iyamit Bishlama, therefore, says the Gemara, here's our proof. If you're ready to agree that Midot was said by Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov, okay, that would explain why the Mishnah there says that you must have a lower wall on the the side of the east in order to fit a laser beam above it. And Heine de Ixe le Pitcha, that explains why the doorway would be blocked because of that extra armor, which now gives us a total of 20 and a half, and you can't get through it above 20 and a half if you only have a door of 20. But Iyamet Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, what's the problem? You've got, anyway, a palga de amta de mischasi le Pitcha begavet. You've got a half an armor through which you can see the petach of the heichal without making any changes in the wall, which, of course, is not exactly the most aesthetic solution. So it's better to leave it the way it was and allow the kohen who does the pura to look through that half an armor. Must be we don't have that option. That seems to conclusively prove that indeed it is Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov. Ravada Barava says, look, I've got another solution. Okay, now, there's a couple of different ways of learning this. Let's take the initial approach of Rashi, and we'll read it like this. And tomorrow we'll explain why this doesn't work out all that great. But here's the approach. There's absolutely no proof at all, says Ravada Barava, that this is going like Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, because you're forgetting a very important ingredient. What you're forgetting is, again, let us take a look carefully at this chart, and you will see that here there is a strong difference between the picture in the art scroll and the picture in the Tiferes Yisrael. You have to look a little carefully, but it's a very important distinction. Look carefully at where the Mizbeach is situated in the art scroll picture, and where the Mizbeach is situated in the Tiferet Yisrael picture. Okay, you see that in the Tiferet Yisrael picture, in the art scroll picture, it's easy. Okay. In the art scroll picture, it's easy to see that the edge of the Mizbeach is precisely at the midpoint of the door to the Heichal. Here, it is offset from the midpoint of the Heichal, and in fact, this is the way that our sugya works out. You see, it covers, when we have it over here, would actually cover the door of the Heichal, right? It's not in the middle.
It's not.
No.
It extends the external wall.
It extends. No, external. Yeah, thank you. That would be very nice. Draw a straight line. Draw a straight line to the door, okay, from the yesod. The edge of the yesod hits the door over here. But in this picture, the edge of the mizbeach hits the middle of the door into the head. So this is a problem. Now, Taina is Ravada Bar Ava. If you learn that neither of these pictures are true, okay, and if you learn that neither of these pictures are true, and that, in fact, Midot is going according to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda holds the Mizbeach is precisely aligned with these stairs, number 47. If the Mizbeach would be precisely aligned with those stairs, and those stairs are precisely aligned with the area of the inside of the Heichal, see? Now, if you include this entire area, you've got the doorway, which is 10, which is right behind 48. That's 10. Uh-huh. And you've got on either side 5, Richie, because the Heichal was 20 amot wide in its inside. And then you've got 6 is the thickness of the wall given in Midot. These outside walls are walls of these little chambers, all numbered 56, which are not part of the din of the Heichal. They're the outside part of the wall. But that means that the wall of the Heichal, which adds an additional 6 on either side, add that up. 6 plus 6 is how much? 12. 5 plus 5 on either side of the doorway. 22. The doorway itself is 10. 10 equals 32. How big was the Mizbeach? 32 by 32. Obviously, how many teeth do you have? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. So that's the Mizbeach is what eats in the Beis HaMikdash. All right, wow. So we have 32 by 32 amot here. And that would be precisely Mechuvan right there according to the walls plus the actual thickness of the Heichal. That's Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. Now, if Rabbi Yehuda, if this Midot is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a very simple reason for why you cannot see the door of the Heichal. Because even if you look through the half an amah on top, it would be blocked by the Mizbeach. So you don't have to say it's going according to Ravada Bar Ava. It's a very simple and elegant solution. You can see through, but you can't see through all the way to the Heichal. You could see through to the top of the Mizbeach, but that's all. So anyway, even if you all like the Rabbanan about how many stairs there were, you'd still need to have that wall being lower. And that gives us an alternative to Ravada Bar Ava. So let's take a look at that inside. Ravada Bar Ava says, look, this Mishnah that says that the Koto Mizrahi needed to be low could simply be going Aliyah to Rabbi Yehuda. To Tani Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaMizbeach Mimutza. The Mizbeach was precisely in the middle. It was only Be'emtza Azara. Now, considering that the Mizbeach is 32 Amot, okay? 32 Amot Hayulo. figure what that covers in relation to the Eichel itself. So 10 of those amot, that covers the door. That's the middle 10 amot, because it's precisely the middle. So the middle 10 amot covers the door of the Eichel. Now, that leaves you 11 amot to the north and 11 amot to the south, right? Because you have 22 left, okay? Which means that basically you have the 5 amot from the inside door of the Eichel to the opening, and then an additional 6 amot of the thickness of the wall, 11 on both sides. Whoop! How do you like that? Perfect fit. 10 for the Petach, 11 on one side, which is 5 of empty space plus the 6 of the wall, and 11 on the other side, 5 of the empty space of the Heichal itself, 6 of the wall of the Heichal, equals 32. Wonderful. Nimza Mizbeach Bechuvan Keneged Heichal V'Kotalav, which puts the Heichal smack bang in front of the Mizbeach, smack bang in front of the Heichal, which would include the door to the Heichal, the continued space up to the door, and the wall on either side, the inner wall of the Heichal.
The height is not an issue?
It is an issue, but it doesn't bother us because it's 9 amas high, besides the Keren. So it's certainly going to cover the 6 amot of the stairs plus the additional 3 amot. Boing, there goes your view. Okay, so it definitely destroys the view. If you're looking for a Heichal view on Har Zeitim, for a kever or anything, make sure you take into consideration the height of the Mizbeach. You know, they say those Kohanim are very expensive, the ones that have the Heichal view. So, Yisal Kadaita, Midot Reb Yehuda, he asked the Gemara, but wait a minute. Now, according to this version, the Vav shouldn't be here. Because according to this version, the Gemara is asking on Rav Ada Barah. Okay? So the Gemara is saying, what? You think that's a solution? How could Midot be going according to Reb Yehuda? Yisak Taitach Midot Reb Yehuda, he. How could Midot be consistent with an approach that claims the Mizbeach is Be'emtza Azara? Mimash Kachatla? Is such a thing possible according to the Mishnah in Midot? Because according to the Mishnah in Midot, we're in big trouble. And why do I say this? Because what's not? Now, we're going to measure not the Ezrat Nashim, but we're going to measure the Ezrat Yisrael and Ezrat HaKohanim and the Heichal. So the actual Azara itself. That's this. Okay? We're now going to start measuring this. Now, obviously it's the same width. It's this entire area surrounded by the maroon. Okay, so this is obviously the same Kufla Medhei wide as the Ezrat Nashim. However, it is longer, as is evident just to your eyes. It is longer. Richie?
Longer.
Actually, I think we should let him just, you know, nod off, and then I'll just keep this for further. Oh, now all of a sudden his eyes pop open. Look at that. Amazing what a new iPad can do. This is an iPad for airheads. They don't call it the iPad Air for nothing. Yeah. So as it turns out, you got to remember that the cops are always coming into the Azar to beat down the Arabs. And that reminds you that the length is Kuf Pei Zayin cops. But cops always act with Kalas Rosh, which reminds you Kuf Lamed He is the width. So it's Kala cops. Okay. That's your sim. Cops. New. What do you do? The guy's got a lisp. New. Okay. So now, let us work this out. So it was Me'avishmonim v'sheva in length by 135, obviously, in width. Now let's take the length first. So the length, we're going to go from the Mizrach, which is the entryway by Shar Nikanor, which was number 20 in your art, sorry, number 15 in your art school. And it was a total distance of 187. The Mokom Drisat HaRegle Yisrael, the first 11 Amot, was an area that everybody could come into when they had business with their korbanot. The next 11 amot was the Makom Drisat Ragle HaKohanim, where there the Kohanim were busy and you'd best keep out of the way. And then you've hit the Mizbeach. Okay, the Mizbeach was 32, so it was 32 square. And then you've got Bein Olam HaMizbeach. We already saw that area. We've got 22. We discussed it before because of the stairs that were there. And then, that's the place where the stairs are. And then you've got 100 amot of the actual building itself. And then behind the whole building, which is number 59 in the art scroll, that's the Achore Beit HaKaporet, it's called. That's the area behind the Kaporet, and that was 11 Amot. Now, none of this is relevant to our question, but the other direction is very relevant to our question, because now, if we start analyzing the width, and we start on the southern side, The southern side brings us very close to number 29, where the Kevesh, right? So the bottom of the Kevesh is close to the wall, close to the southern wall, which of course is our main problem, because if it's close to the wall, then how the heck would be going to leave it to Rabbi Yehuda? According to Rabbi Yehuda, the whole thing has got to be moved up to the north to cover the Pitcha Shel Heichal, and as we're going to see, we can see where we're going here, as we're going to see, it wasn't. It was indeed close to the southern wall and far from the northern wall, which means there's no way for the Mizbeach to be Mimutza. And that's where we're going to head. So we'll go through the details in order to get there, okay? So let's start now. Minadoron Letzafon. We said that was a total of 135. Me'ashloshim Bechamesh. And here's how we split it. Let's forget about the distance between the Kevesh and the wall, between 29 and the wall running along the side where we had, I don't know, the numbers 46, 45, 43, and so on. So starting at the Kevesh itself, okay. The Mizbeach we know is 32. The Kevesh was also actually 32 along the ground. However, the two Amot that were the last two Amot fit like a jigsaw puzzle piece over the Yesod and over the Sovev of the Mizbeach, which took off two Amot from the distance that it would take off of the ground. So really, we'd only add 30 Amot for the Kevesh to the 32 Amot of the Mizbeach, because the two include both Mizbeach and Kevesh, which gives us a total of 62 to keep things easy. Okay. Now, from the Mizbeach until the Tabaot, if you look carefully and you make your little art scroll picture bigger on your iPad, you can see that those look like little rings, number 33. And that's what we call them, Tabaot. Now, they were half rings, which would be used to hold down the head of an animal so it couldn't struggle, which would enable you to unfairly shecht it. But shechita is pretty unfair, no matter how you look at it, unless, you know, especially if you're a European. And therefore, we had these little Tabaot over there, and the distance that we had between the Mizbeach and the Tabaot was 8 Amot, and then we had the Makoma Tabaot themselves was 24 Amot. Now, Mina Tabaot L'Shulchanot was in a distance, an additional 4. It's not telling us how wide the Shulchanot was. Rashi learns the Shulchanot had to be at least 4. The Rambam learns the Shulchanot were 8, but he doesn't have the 4 between the Tabaot and the Shulchanot because, oh, how convenient, Richie's asleep. Because he measures 4 until the midpoint of the Shulchanot, says the Rambam. So according to him, the distance is included. It boils down to the same thing, whether it's 4 till the Shulchanot plus 4, or whether it's 4 to the midpoint and another 4 from the midpoint of the Shulchanot to the Nanasim, also are, but comes out to the same distance. So we have 8 and 8. Mina Nanasim Lekotel Azara, 8 Amot. And that gives us 8 Amot left between the edge of, oh, sorry, I didn't explain what those are. The Shulchanot, which is number 34, is where the innards of the Behemo would be washed off in order to make it suitable for putting on the Mizbeach. So we would actually wash off the insides. And 35 represents poles on which there were hooks. And these were hooks for hanging, like butcher shop hooks. You would hang the animal and take off the skin. That was the makom of hafshat. Would make it very easy to do hafshatah if the animal is hanging. Obviously, it's very difficult to do if you don't have something to hang it on for hefshet. That's why when there were a lot of people there and people needed to do their own hefshet, to kachim kalim, they would have poles that they would hang up on their shoulders. You and your friend would hang a pole across from your shoulder to the other guy's shoulder and hang the animal on that to allow you to take care of that. That's, you know, with Korban Pesach and so on. No. This is where we're doing the kachim is in this area specifically, and which is Tzafan and so on. Obviously, if you are dealing with things yourself, then you'd be able to take care of things that wouldn't be nifsal. You know, once already you bring the emurim, then you can do what you want. But the rest is yours. You're not going to have Yisraelim over there. Okay, and now that gives us here 21 Amot that have not been accounted for in 135, which we need to split. Bein Kevesh Lakoto, we didn't say how much distance there was between the end of the Kevesh 29 and the wall that was on the south. That would be half of the remaining 21 Amot, and we didn't say how much there was either between Minan HaNasim Lakotel also. So we've got to have the Mokom HaNasim. So split that 21 between the Kevesh and the Kotel, the Mokom HaNasim. Now you'll notice that this gives us almost the entirety. Of course, it's not the art scroll picture. It's this picture of the Tiferes Yisrael. All right, because it does not bring the Mizbeach, if you analyze it, it does not bring the Mizbeach all the way to the end. And we'll discuss that in detail tomorrow to show why this is not the preferred understanding of the Sugya, and why Rashi in the end has Charata from it. But it's an easy way to learn and to get into the Sugya first, which is why we should look at it this way. If we split this evenly, then obviously the Mizbeach is not Mimutza. That's the bottom line. And if it's not Mimutza, it can't be Rebbe Yehuda. Therefore, Isak Daitach Midot Rebbe Yehuda, how could you possibly learn that the Mizbeach would be Be'emtza HaZorah Mimashkachatla? If you carefully add up the distances that are on the north, you find that the Rov of the Mizbeach is in the south. And according to him, it's precisely in the middle. And therefore, we have proven to you that it can't be Rebbe Yehuda. And if that is the case, then we're left with only one solution. If it can't be Rebbe Yehuda, it's got to be Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, who says that you need to have that wall lower because your laser beam will not penetrate. Now, of course, the serious issue with all of this is that it might not be Rebbe Yehuda, but it sure as heck isn't Uncle Art's picture either. And according to this picture, which does accurately represent, you've still got a problem of the Mizbeach blocking the doorway. So even though it's not smack bang in the middle, but it does extend up to the end of the door. So why don't we have the same answer even if it's not Rebbe Yehuda? So how can you say this conclusively proves that it's Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov? So we're going to have to get into the alternative tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. But at least we have a nice, clear picture now. And this is a very important thing to do here at the beginning of Yuma, because so much is going to be relating to where we're going in the Azor and where we're walking. You have to have everything placed in your mind in order to be standing there and being able to read the Mishnayot of where everybody was at any particular time and where the Kohen was going to for his tefillah or for the Lishka that he was staying out in Lishka's Sanhedrin, and where he did his tefillah and came back in and so on. So it's good that we do this up front, and the Gemara is actually very well organized, even though the excuse that we're using is sort of a very tangential issue about who said midot, which we shouldn't really care about. It turns out that this is a wonderful, wonderful introduction to our Masechta to be continued. Omer Huna Mantana Midot Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Ditna. Ezrat Nashim Aita Orach 135 Al Rochav 135 Varba Leshakot Ayu Ba'arba Mikzaotel Mayum Shamshot Dromit Mizrachit Hi Aita Lishkata Nezirim Shesham Nezirim Mevashlim Et Shamayim Megalchim Saran Umishalchim Tachat Hadud. And this was known as the Lishka of Moshe's Terror. Mizrachit Tzvonit, that's where they cut the hair. Mizrachit Tzvonit Haita Lishkat Ha'etzim. Desham Kohanim Balei Mumin Ondim Umatliim Ve'etzim Shekol Etz Sheyesh Bo Tolat would be posel Gabi Mizbeach. Tzvonit Maravit Haita Lishkat Ha'Metzoraim. And the Maravit Romit was Omer Blazer Ben Yaakov, I can't remember. So here's a raya that midas is Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. Abashol Omer, I remember, Bar Yunot Bim Yayin V'Shemen, V'yayta Nikret Lishkat Beit Shamnaya. And by the way, I mean, of course, it's got to be Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, right? Because Ditznan, Kolak Talim Shayu Shamayu Gvohim, Chutz Bikoto Mizrachi, Shakona Servet Abara, Omeid Bara Mishcha, Now, why do you think that's necessary? I'll tell you why. Add up the height. It's not. Kol aptachim shayusham govan esrim ama. Okay, that's your given. Rochvan esrim ama. It's not important to this. It's not. Lifnimi mena sorek. It's not a fimi mena achel. Esrim ama. Chtem esrim alot ayusham. Rum ala chatsiyama. Shulcha chatsiyama. Which gives us 6 amot high so far. Now, there was an additional Tet Vav Ma'alot Olot Mitocha, and that was the ones that came down from the Ezrat Yisrael to the Ezrat Nashim. And over there, each one of those 15 stairs was a Chatziyama high, Vishulcha Chatziyama, which gives us another 7.5 plus 6, 13.5. It's not. Bein Ha'ulam V'la Mizbeach, another 22 Amot, which went up to the Ulam, which had 12 stairs, each one of which, which gives us another 6. 6 plus 13.5 is 19.5, which does not cover the entire entryway, so I'd be able to get my laser beam above the 19.5 in the last Chatziyama, I'd still be able to look through and see El Nochach Pnei Ohomo 8. Other than the fact, and here's our last piece of the puzzle, Utznan Reb Leizer ben Yaakov Omer, you're forgetting that additional stair. And that stair was in by the Ezrat Yisrael, and that was between the Ezrat Kohanim, so to speak. I mean, obviously no wall or anything, but there was a stair. And that was another Amma high, where the Duchan was. And the Duchan had Shalosh Ma'alot Shachatzi Chatzi Amma, and therefore, only if you say Yamet Bishlam Reb Leizer ben Yaakov, that explains why the additional Amma of that stair raised the level from which we began the next 22 Amot of the 12 stairs. But if you tell me it's going to the Rabbanon, you're still left with a Palga de Amta, and through that Palga de Amta your laser beam can fit, and Michaz Yalei Pitcha Begave, which proves that Midot is Reb Eliezer and Yaakov. Says Rav Ada Bar Ava, well, not necessarily. If it's going Aliba to Reb Yehuda, everything works out without coming on to Reb Eliezer and Yaakov. Because Hamani Reb Yehuda, Datani Reb Yehuda Omer, Hamizbeach Bemutza, Viomid Behem Tzazara, Shulshim Vishtayim Amot Ayulo, Esra Amot Keneged Pitcho Shalaychal, leaving you exactly what we would need to cover the inside of the Heichal and its wall. Yud Aleph Amot Atzafon, Yud Aleph Amot Lidorom, which gives us the Mizbeach precisely Mechuvan, Keneged the Heichal and its inner walls. Now, ask the Gemara, but wait, Isak Adaitach Midot Reb Yodehi, how could Midot tolerate a Shita which puts the Mizbeach in the middle of the Azorah? Mizbeach went to Azorah and Mimashkachatla. If you analyze the Mishnah in Midot, you will soon see that that's impossible, because what's not? Kol Azorah haita orach 187 arochav 135. So Kabze and Kala. Mina Mizrach l'Maharav 187. And what was that? Well, the Mokum Drisat Ragle Yisrael was 11. Mokum Drisat Ragle Kohanim was another 11, 22. The Mizbeach was another 32, 54. Bein Olam Le Mizbeach, Esrim Vishtayim. Add another Amot, Mea Amot, for the Heichal of the building itself. Another 11 Amot behind the Kaporet, it was called the Achore Beit HaKaporet, gives you 187. Mina Daron Letzafon, and from the southern side, starting at the area where the Kevesh comes down to the ground, okay? We've got, the whole area was 135, but starting from the area of the Kevesh. So we know the Kevesh and Mizbeach together was Shishim Mistayim. 32 plus 32, except that two of the 32 was included in the other ones, two of the 32, and therefore we got 62 in aggregate. Now, Mina Mizbeach L'Tabaot, which held down the necks of the animal for Shechita, that was 8 Amot. The Mokum of the Tabaot themselves is 24 Amot. Moving on from the Tabaot to the Shulchanot, we have 4 Amot. From the Shulchanot to the Nanasim, we also have 4. From the Nanasim to the Kotel of the Azorah, we have 8. And the remaining 21 we give to the area between the Kevesh and the Kotel, and the Mokum and Nanasim. Now, obviously, this cannot put the Mizbeach smack bang in the middle. And therefore, Isaac, is going to rebuke that. How would you fit the Mizbeach b'emtza Azorah mimash kachatle? How ruba the Mizbeach b'dorom koi? According to this picture, most of the Mizbeach was towards the south, by far. And therefore, the only other explanation is El Alav, Shema Mina, it's going according to Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, Shema Mina.
Today's daf is being learned by Elias Nishmat.
Eliyahu ben Ariyalei Bakal.
Today's daf is daf tezayin. And yesterday we had, just agav, because we had gotten into the structure of the Beit HaMoked and so on, we pointed out that there's a contradiction between the way that the thing worked. Between the location of the Lishkat HaTla'im, either on the Dromit Mizrachit or on the Tzvonit Mizrachit, we explained that there are two different Tanaim. Midos and Tamid are two different people, and that the Tana of Midos is Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, which means that we've identified three different Shitot, really. Shita of the Rabbanan in the Seder of Midas, the Sheet of Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah in Seder Yoma, and now we have the Seder of Tamid, I'm sorry, of Tamid, and now we have the Seder of Midot is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. How do we know? So Omer Rav Huna, Mantana Midot, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. How do we know that it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? It's not. Ezrat Nashim Haita Orech Me'ar Shloshim V'Chamesh, Arocha Me'ar V'Shloshim V'Chamesh. Let's start with an analysis of the size of the Ezrat Nashim. The Ezrat Nashim, the way to remember this is Nashim Datan Kalot, which is Kuf Lamed Hei. So Kuf Lamed Hei by Kuf Lamed Hei is two Kalot. And don't tell your wife, though, that's something. But okay, it's a nice thing, all right?
Rabbi, are we
going to be saying material when are you talking about? You mean when we were learning Kachim?
We
yeah, like were you there? We did Kachim? You were with us in Kachim? Yeah, I thought we were busy driving bicycles. Okay. Well, yes, but it's a comparative to other versions. What we're trying to do now is we're trying to see all of the versions now and figure out which our Gemara was going according to. Take a look now at picture number 29 here. We got a simple view of the Ezrat Nashim. What happened to that nice big picture we had? Yes, this is better, but we had one that was...
We had a big one, yeah.
What did I do with it? I may have taken it home to Hashem. Okay, so here's the Ezrat Nashim, a nice perfect square. Kuflam and Hey, Al Kuflam and Hey. A lot nicer than this. Sure, thank you. Okay, and it had four lishakot on the four sides. Uma hayu mishamshot. What is it that these lishakot were serving? What purpose did they serve? So we start off now with the tzad. Where are we here? Okay, we're looking from the east. Remember that every time that we go around in a circle, how's it? Every time that we go in a circle, even when we're looking at a picture and we're counting, we go to the right. We go counterclockwise. Okay. So if we start over here, let's begin. Dromit Mizrachit. Obviously, the Mizrachit side is the one that we're coming in on. Here's our Tzad Dorom. So the first one to the Tzad Dorom is the Lishkat HaNezirim. And this is Lishkat HaNezirim right over here. You walk in here. Lishkat HaNezirim. South. You're not sure where I'm pointing?
No.
How could I point? Well, I can't point with more than one finger. I can cover it. Does that make it clear? Lishkat HaNezirim is the place Shesham Nezirim mevashlim et shalmehem u'megalchin saran u'meshachin tachat hadud. That's where the Nezirim, there's a special mitzvah that the carbon shalomim of a Nazir requires actual cooking of its meat there in the Azorah, and the hair that the Nazir is megaleach after bringing his karbonas is put underneath the flames of that pot. And this was done in this particular lishka. Mizrachit, Tzvonit. Now we now are turning to the right, so we get to the Tzofon side. He aita lishkat dira etzim, shesham kohanim ba'alei mumim omdim umatliim be'etzim. The lishkat dira etzim was the place where kohanim could not do the avoda because they had a mum, such as being a lefty, which is what our sponsor that I pointed out yesterday. So they would spend their time in order to try to help the avoda as best as possible, and they would sit there checking the wood for worms. Shekol eitz sheyejbo tolat pasul legabim mizbeach. Wormy wood was not usable on the mizbeach. Tzvonit Ma'aravit, we now continue around to the right. So we're still on the Tzofon side, we now move up to the Ma'arav towards the Heichal. What was the point of the Tzvonit Ma'aravit? That was the Lishkat HaMitzoraim. It was the place where the Mitzoraim, who had to now, they had to come in to put their hands into the, by the Shar HaNikanor, which was right here in the middle. So they would stay in the Lishkat HaMitzoraim, being prepared, the Mokom, they had to do Tefillah before and so on, and then they would go up and get the blood sprinkled through at the entrance of the Shar HaNikanor. And then there was another lishka, and Ma'aravit Dromit, I gotta tell you, says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Tarnit Shechachti Ma'itam Meshamesh. I can't remember what it was, but it was there. But anyway, meanwhile, you see that the speaker of this mission is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And who has Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? He forgot something. We're only interested if somebody knows something. They don't know something. So if he's saying, I forgot, then obviously he's the speaker of the Mishnah, which shows that the Stam Mishnah, up until this point, was taking for granted that it was written by Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which proves to us that Midos is indeed the Masechet of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Don't ask me a kasha from Midos on Tamid. Tamid is the sheet of the Rabbonah, and this is the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And everything works out okay. Abba Shaul comes along, and he says, well, I know what that lishka was for. Bah, I'm going to use it in a second. Bah, hayonotnim yayin v'shemen. V'yatendi great lishka at Beit Shamnaya. That was a lishka where they used to keep the yayin and the shemen that were used for the Nesachim. And they called it the lishka of the Beit Hashem. So therefore, we now see, just from the wording of the Mishnah, that the speaker, hidden speaker, must be Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But the truth is, I mean, it would be nice to prove that it was Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov in terms of his shita, not simply that he happened to be speaking in this Mishnah. And indeed, says the Gemara, you know how chinami misara. The truth is, it doesn't work out. The Masechta doesn't work out logistically if you don't hold it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The reason that, let me give you a little hagadamah to this, because otherwise you'll get a little bit confused. The reason that it doesn't work out, the Gemara is going to prove in a fascinating way. Let me add this one. What we're going to try to show is this. When you do the Hora Aduma Zavreda, you're standing on Har HaZeitim, the Torah says that you need to be Mechavein the Zrikat Adam from Har HaZeitim towards the Pitcha Shel Heichal. What we're going to try to prove is that according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, there was no way of looking through the gate that faced towards the east, and you standing on Har HaZeitim, there would be no way that you could look through that gate and see the Pitcha Shel Heichal. And the way we're going to prove it is by analyzing the topography of the Har HaBayit and work out precisely how high the door of the Heichal was above the view of somebody standing on Har HaZeitim who was attempting to look through the gate. How did he then, according to the Shita, how did he manage to do the Parah Aduma? They had to build the wall lower so you could see over the gate. The Kotel Mizrahi. The Kotel Mizrahi had a different height, according to the Shita, than any of the other Kotelim, for the simple purpose of allowing the Kohen Oseh Parah to go over the gate and look across the top of the wall. Because obviously, because Shalechal extended quite a distance. Now, it's going to turn out that if you don't hold of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and you analyze the topography, you have a half an Amma that is visible between Har HaZeitim and the Pitcha Shel Heichal directly through the gate, in which case it would have been absurd to lower the height of the wall on that side if I don't really have a problem. How much do I have to see? If I have one area of a half an Amma that I can see, it's obviously at that angle, it gives me, I can just choose my angle. Let's say where to be on Har HaZeitim. I go to Har HaZeitim, the place I can see straight through, and I see the Pitcha Shel Heichal. Why do I have to change the whole architecture of the Beit HaMikdash just to get this done? It'll turn out that according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that half an Amma is covered, and you can't see through it, because he has an additional level that the Chachamim don't hold.
Obviously, it depends where.
Doesn't depend. No. If no matter where you're standing, the area is completely covered by something, it doesn't make any difference.
And if not, if it is, then you can choose where you're going to be.
Yeah, right. In other words, you have all the variants that you want in your hand, but that's only in the Arizaki side. If Lamaise, the door is completely covered, it's not going to do you any good to try to peek.
It's not seeing the door.
Sorry, but I don't understand your question.
There has to be a place somewhere in the top Har HaZeitim where I see the Ula.
Why does there have to be such a place that the wall of the Beit HaMikdash is higher than the level of the
Har HaZeitim is so much higher.
It is now. It wasn't then.
No, but there's been tremendous settling. That's how the Brisker Rav learns the Nigan, which is Yakim Bamidbar. What do we say in Dror Yikra? Tein Bamidbar Har, Hadashita Veroshit Har.
The Har that had shrunk should be back up to its original level. Doesn't work out with the story of the water of the Itamid. There's obviously been a change. The analysis of the Gemara elsewhere doesn't work out. No, okay, but that already is not there.
Is this a little vote-picking?
Can't hear you.
Is this a little vote-picking as far as
the order? By the way, it's not really Har HaZeitim. It's Har HaMishkan. Mishkan, it's called. There's two separate areas. It could be that what we call Har HaZeitim all the way on top, maybe higher. No, it just maybe taller. No. But it's that lower area, which is the Har HaMishkan. Okay, but in any event, we're talking here about the Bayit Sheni. Okay, so with that Hagdama, we can now do the analysis very, very simply. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to be given a set of items. Item. Okay? After we take all of those items, then let's try to make sense out of them. But first, the list of items. Ditznan. Kolak talim shayusham ayugvohim chutz bikoto mizrahi So given one is that they needed to have the wall on the east side of the Azora lower than anywhere else. Why? Because the Kohen who would be standing on Har HaMishkan would have to look above that wall in order to see the Pitcha Shel Heichal at the time that he was doing the Zrikat Adam. Vitznan, kol haptachim shayusham. Furthermore, next item. All of the gates that were there were 20 amot high. By the way, it's not the Heichal, it's Pitcha Shel Heichal. Remember, you don't have, can't see the roof, I can help you. So the gates themselves were 20 amot high, 10 amot wide, which becomes important, so we We're going to need that in Natun as well. Item number three, Vitznat. Lifnim mimenu soreg. And as you go into, now let's take a look at our pictures. As you go into the Harabayit, you will hit a low wall, which is called the soreg. And that soreg, basically, that was the place where they discovered that little Greek sign that warned the Goyim of death that they perceived beyond this point. And that sign is in Banea's neighborhood. Here is the soreg. And behind the soreg, you'll see there's an empty space, which is called the Hel. And now behind the Hel start the steps, which go up now from the Harabayit into the Ezrat Nashi. Okay, this is picture number 31. For those of you who have the Me'orot illustrated version, we're also selling the illustrated Al-Khayt this year for you, San Yom HaKippurim. I got to tell you, that was Tuvia's idea. Tuvia's books are months ago. He told me one time, they're coming out with everything with illustrations. I can't wait till they come out with the Al-Khayt. So the next stage that you have is the soreg. Item, next item. Tznan, lifnim mimeno hachel, eser amot. 10 amot, empty space, behind the soreg, which was called the chel. V'shtemesre ma'alot ayusham. There were 12 ma'alot. Rum ma'ala, chatzi ama. Each step was 1/2 an ama high. V'shilcha chatzi ama, and had a 1/2 ama length. Okay, now let's start counting now the height issues. Okay, so we'll keep them in mind as we go. So if there were 12 ma'alot, each 1 1/2 an ama, we're now talking about a 6 ama ride from the entranceway. Now, there were furthermore, chamesh esrei ma'alot, olot mitocha. There were 15 stairs that came up from the level of the Ezrat Nashim, and now we're on picture number 32. And those 15 ma'alot were the 15 ma'alot that went down, if you're looking from the top, we're of course coming in, that's what it says, olot, but they went down from the Ezrat Yisrael, which was a higher azara, around the Heikal itself, coming down to the Ezrat Nashim, which was in front. 15 ma'alot, each one of those ma'alot, rum ma'ala chatziyama, vishilcha chatziyama, was the same construction of half and then a half rise. So that gives us now another 7 1/2, correct? Added to our 6. What does that equal, Richie?
13 1/2.
Excellent, excellent. Fox, you get a 1, 11 out of 10, as Back would say. Well, we got, you got to wait till the end of the year. Vitzna. So now we're up to 13 1/2. Beina olam vala mizbeach. Now let's go now into the Azara itself. And we'll start for the area between the ulam and the mizbeach, which is picture 33. Can you hold it up there? Right there on the bottom, which is number 33. We're talking about this distance over here. Beina olam vala mizbeach, esrim vishtaim ama. And in that area, there were 12 steps. Temesre ma'alot ayusham, rum ma'ala chatzi ama, vishilcha chatzi ama. Which gave you now an additional 6, which gives us what, Richie?
19 1/2.
19 1/2. Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, they're going down if you start on top.
The steps of the
Heichal? The ulam. The ulam is the porch in front of the Heichal. Okay, where are we up to now? 19 1/2. Wow. So we still have a good 1/2 an ama left that is not covering the gate. We're talking about the distance when you enter the gate until you get up to the Pesach of the Heichal. How many steps have you gone up? 19 1/2 amot worth of steps. But the gate was 20 amot, which means if you put your head down on the ground over there, you can still see out the gate. But by the same token, someone standing on Har HaZeitim can look through the top of the gate, just positions himself on that level, looks through the top of the gate, sees 1 1/2 an ama open of the Pitcho Shelecha, because he's now on the Pitcho Shelecha level. That's all you need to see. So that should be fine. So why is it that we needed to have that wall lowered if you can look through the gate of that wall and then you don't need to change the height of the wall? Aha. And here comes the answer. That's none. The next item is that Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov says, well, you're forgetting. There was one additional stair, which was an ama high. Ma'ale haitasham v'gavoa ama. There was an additional level of 1 ama in which, above which, there was a ducha natun aleha. This Dukhan, now he has the picture here, number 34, which is wrong. But he's trying to depict Rashi's description of the Dukhan. The reason that he's wrong is because according to Rashi, the Dukhan did not go all the way across. That part he's right. Tosus asks, it doesn't show him asks on Rashi that the Dukhan went all the way across, it appears from another Mishnah. But the reason that this picture is wrong is because the Dukhan, as he has has it, will cover over the entire area that would have been visible from the door. Rashi only gets us one additional amma. If the Dukhan covered everything, he would have spoken about the one amma plus the 1.5 amma. He would have said that there was 2.5 ammas more, which he doesn't say. Okay, so the Dukhan was a small stage. Didn't necessarily cover the area that we're talking about. For the Levian. But the amma on which the Dukhan was located definitely raised the level of that area of the Azara by one additional amma, which brings us to not 19.5, but 20.5. And if it's 20.5, then we're in trouble. And the only way we can cure our problem is by lowering the wall, because we can't see through the door.
Does it have to be on a parallel, on a flat line? Because the steps are all going up. You should be able to go from a bottom, you know, at an angle, and even though it's a straight line, you would not be able
to. It's too close to allow for an angle. The last level of topography is right at the end of the angle.
Are we looking over the wall?
Exactly. So what we have to do, therefore, is go, we have to go over the wall.
So the outside wall is
trying to look through the gate, but it isn't working. Therefore, we have to lower the wall. But the Gemara's question is, if you could see through the gate, right, you wouldn't have to lower the wall? So why does it say that the wall was lowered there in Midah? Must be it's Rebbe Yehuda ben Yaakov who said you couldn't see through the gate. So forget about bringing up what's wanted. Forget about the proof that it's Rebbe Yehuda ben Yaakov was doing the talking in this Mishnah. It's the Shita. The only way that the Shita and the Mishnah works is that it's going according to Rebbe Yehuda ben Yaakov. Therefore, we have now proven that Midot is Rebbe Yehuda ben Yaakov. According to Chachamim, the wall on the eastern side could have been exactly the same height as the wall on all the other sides.
Because the doorway was high enough to prove
it. Right. Why 1.5 an hour?
And why would we say the height?
We'll worry about the Mizbeach soon. Right now we're ignoring the Mizbeach. We'll see why we're ignoring the Mizbeach. But we're going to ask your question in a moment. So because we have this additional Ma'ala, and according to those who learn not like Rashi, and that the Dukhan in fact ran all the way across, forget about this additional Ma'ala, we have the Ma'ala plus the 3 Ma'alot. So we have 1 Amma Ma'ala, and then we have 1.5 of the Dukhan itself, which would have covered the space. We have an awful lot of additional area. So we have not 20.5, but 22. We have the additional 1.5 Amot of the Dukhan itself. 19.5 plus 1 plus 1.5.
What was the additional one? Wasn't that the
Dukhan? No, that was the Mala on which the Dukhan was. So now, Iyam mit Bishleim Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, he therefore, we can now conclude. So if you hold this going according to Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, then this makes perfectly good sense. Hainu de Ichsele Pitra, that would explain why there's no way that I can see the opening of the Heichal. Ele Iyam at Rabbanan. But if you don't want to admit that Midot is going according to Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, and it's going according to Rabbanan, and they don't hold of this additional Mala, so then Haika Palgari Amta de Mitchazai Le Pitra Begavet, you have another 1.5 an Amma. You only explain how you got up to 19.5 from the time you walked into the gate. Fine. 19.5 still leaves me an additional 0.5 an Amma. That's just plenty for me to be able to see through from Har HaZeitim and get a view of the Hechal's door.
You see the door? You see that the door is open?
You see the door of the Hechal, which is the Pitcha Shel Hechal. It is open. Of course it's open. We don't do anything close. Oh, now Amma? It's approximately 14 inches. Huh? It depends. The lower, right? The Chazanish shear is 18 inches. Chazanish, 22? I don't know. I mean, let's talk in centimeters. So the Chazanish shear is that you would need you have to take 10 tvachim. It would be a meter, right? 10 tvachim is a meter. So it means every, almost 99 or something. So it means that every tefach, and I'm at 6 tvachim, every tefach is 10 centimeters. It would be like 60 centimeters. 60 centimeters is 1.5 feet, probably, right? A little more, yeah, more.
It's 23.6.
It is that much? 23.6? Okay. So according to Rabbanan, you have a half. Not okay according to Rabbanan. According to Rabbanan, you have a half an amma. You only went up 19.5 and the gateway is 20. Because they don't have this additional duch, the duchan and the amma that it sits on. Elolav Shmamina Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. This therefore proves our contention that Midot indeed is Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. Note that we've managed magically to get back to the Parah Aduma, even though this had absolutely nothing to do with the Parah Aduma. It's amazing the various levels of the construction here. It really is. So Rav Ada Bar Abba, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov says Rav Ada Bar Abba, not necessarily, because as Scott just pointed out, there's an alternative to why you couldn't see the door of the Heichal, and that alternative is based on where the Mizbeach is located. If the Mizbeach is located precisely in front of the door of the Heichal, then even though you may be able to see through the top, but you're going to hit the side of the Mizbeach before you get... Fox, you just did so well.
No,
it's too much for you. It's like when you had so much... It's exactly what happens when you tell the kids in the back seat, you're doing great, you've been wonderful. Next thing you know, there's a wet egg going down your... You got it all wrong before. 13 and a half and six is not 19. So now if you look through the top of that gateway, you're going to hit the side of the Mizbeach. And that's going according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Shita is a Mizbeach Mimutza. Mizbeach was centered. The Omeid Be'emtza Azara stands in the middle of the Azara. And now let's figure out how that blocks us. Okay? The Mizbeach was 32 Amot Hayulo. It was 32 Amot by 32 Amot. According to this version that it was Mumutsa, 10 of those 32 Amot, the middle 10, covered the actual entranceway into the Heichal. There was still, leaves you 11 Amot on either side. So you have 11 Amot towards the east, towards the north, and 11 Amot towards the south. What an amazing coincidence, because the Heichal was 20 Amot inside, and then if you add up the two walls, including the Ta'im, there were little empty chambers, cells. That's where the word ta comes from. The modern Hebrew is from midot. So there were ta'im on either side, there were cells on either side, and the total width of the wall plus cell plus wall plus outer wall was 6 amot. So that means that you had 6 amot on one side, 6 amot on the other side, 6 and 6, Max, plus 20,
32,
which is exactly the size of the Mizbeah. Which is why you have 32 teeth. Because the Mizbeach is the mouth of the Beit HaMikdash. So the Nimtza, Mizbeach Mechuvan, the Mizbeach, therefore, is found to be located Keneged Heichal VeKotalav. You have a nice one. Keneged the Heichal itself and the walls of the Heichal. That doesn't help too much.
But it's a nice picture.
Maybe the next page, maybe there's something about it. Yeah, but they don't show you the relation. There, may, no, that next one. No, that's the other sheet. That's the other sheet. No.
Steinsaltz puts his two shekels in.
Okay. That's the other sheet. Yeah. Fine. Says the Gemara, okay, now according to this, it's all very nice that you only have 19 and a half amot of a rise. That 19 and a half amot of a rise is up to the bottom of the Eichal's entryway, right? You had 13, we started, remember, before we got to the last stairs that were going up to the Mizbeach, Beinu Olam v'Mizbeach, were 12 stairs, total of 6 amot. So we still had 13 and a half from the bottom, the level that the Mizbeach was built on, right? It only goes up another 6 beyond that. The problem is that the Mizbeach goes up another 9 above that, in which case it's going to cover over the entranceway to the Heichal because of its own height. And therefore, why do we need to say that it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov when we have a simple solution? It could be going according to Rabbi Yehuda. So if you add the 9 of the Mizbeah, of course, I'm ignoring the Keren, because the Keren was only right at the end, 1 Amma. But if you ignore the Keren, it's 9 Amot from the bottom of the Mizbeah to the top of the Mizbeah. How much is 9? Box? This is a hard one. 9 and 13 and a half. 22 and a half. Okay. 22 and a half is more or less than 20. This is a hard one. Yeah, a little bit more. So therefore, when you look through the gate, you could not see the Heichal. You saw the top part of the Mizbeach. You couldn't see that. So therefore, your proof is now kaput. No reason to say that Midot is necessarily going according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. It's factual. It says, no. Excuse me. He's talking about Midot is Rabbi Yehuda. If you hold that Midot is Rabbi Yehuda, you can't have Midot holding that the Mizbeach is in the middle of the Azar. Why? Because of another mission in Midot. But it's not. Let us analyze now the width of the Azar. We've spoken about the height as we go in. Let's talk. Okay, let's talk, Richard. Let's talk about the width. Kol Azara. And we're talking about, now not the Azara Nashim, we're talking about the Azara in front of the Heichal. I'm going to measure it from an area where the Mizbeach is. So the Azara was 187 long by the width of magic, 135. It was exactly the same, of course, as the Azara Nashim, which was just an extension of it. But it's longer than the Azara Nashim. The Azara Nashim was 135 long. This is 187 long. So reminds you of cops. They're always there to take it. It's a kufei zayin. So it was 187 and 135 wide. Mina Mizrach l'Ma'arav, from east to west, 187. How do we get 187? As follows. Makom drisat ragle Yisrael. What is called the Ezrat Yisrael, the first 11 amot of the... Do we have a diagram of this? The picture diagram, we don't have? Yeah, it's very straightforward.
Oh, okay, yes, this is it. Perfect. So we have 11 amot. Hold that up. It's picture number. They don't number it?
The big one.
The big one, okay. So you have the first 11 amot is where the kahal is allowed to go, the men. Then you have another 11 amot, which is called Makom Drisat Raglei HaKohanim. That's where the Kohanim hang out. Another 11 amot is the Mizbeach. You have, the Mizbeach is the next 32 amot. Then you have Bein Olam HaMizbeach, Esrim Eshtayim, another 22. The Heichal itself is 100 amot. And then there were 11 amot between the back of the Heichal, which is the Beit HaKaporet, the place where the Aron was kept, right? And up until the wall was 11 amot, equals 187. This is not germane to our discussion, but the next piece is very germane to our discussion. Going min adarom latzafon, here's where we get into trouble. Going from the south to the north, the entire width, therefore, was 135. Let's take the big pieces off first. The kevesh and the mizbeach together were 62, even though the kevesh was actually 32, and usually 32 and 32 equals 64. In this case, it doesn't, because the kevesh was cut out to fit as a puzzle over the parts of the mizbeach, because remember, when we measure 32 by 32, we're measuring from the bottom of the mizbeach. But that included the yesod, which then immediately went in one amma, included the sovev, which went in another amma. So we cut out the kevesh to match that, so that the kevesh would then connect directly to the mizbeach. But that means that the length of the kevesh on the ground together with the mizbeach was 62, because it was two amma short. So that means that the kevesh and the mizbeach together is 62. Okay. Now let's talk about, as we go to the north side, we have what were called the taba'ot. The taba'ot was an area that would support the head of an animal while it was being shafted. Between the edge of the mizbeach and the taba'ot, so bein min ha-mizbeach the taba'ot, there were 8 amot. The mekom ha-taba'ot themselves, that area took up 24 amot. Then next to the taba'ot were shulchanot. The shulchanot were used, there were other shulchanot, as Tosis points out, but the shulchanot we're referring to over here were the shulchanot that were used not to support the animal during the hefshet, but rather to wash off the shechted animal. So those shulchanot, before you got to them, there was another arba. Mina shulchanot l'nanasim, between the shulchanot and these, what were called the midget, the nanasim were little blocks of wood that held them, pieces of metal with hooks in them that you could hang the animal on for purposes of hefshet, for skinning, and for nituah, you could then clean out the inside. And you had another, mina shulchanot l'nanasim, another 4. Mina nanasim l'kotel azara, between the nanasim and the edge of the wall, you had 8 amot. Now the problem is that this only equals 110. There's 25 amot missing. The other 25 amot was split. Amotar bein hakevesh lekotel umakor mananasim. We would split it between the wall of the azora and on the south side to the beginning of the kevesh, and the other part would go to the makom mananasim. But remember, we left out the distance of the shulchanot. The shulchanot are defined in Yecheskel for 4 shulchanot, each one an amma. So we have 4 amot. That left us only with 21 split. That gives us 10.5 amot between the wall and the beginning of the kevesh. The shulchanot, it said between X and shulchanot and between shulchanot and Y, but it didn't say the shulchanot themselves. Everything else it said, okay? So we need to include another 4 amot to deduct from the 25 that we had available. Deduct 4, okay? You're now left with 21. It says over here, split the 21. That gives you now 10.5, that's why it says here, 10.5 here and 10.5 here. Okay, because he's not included. This is problem with the
shulchan. Otherwise, the kevesh would have gone right up to the wall.
What do you mean, otherwise? Otherwise, what? What's the why?
Let's say those 21 wouldn't exist. The kevesh would have been started with the beginning of the
If it wouldn't exist, the world would come to an end. Space would have collapsed. None of us would exist.
That's the little space where.
Yeah, okay.
Go up to the kevesh.
Okay. Otherwise, it's an interesting way of looking at it.
You have to step, and you're not
supposed to step. Okay, exactly. So, kishim shein patsufet em shavim. All right. So now, if you analyze where the mizbeach is with this cheshbon, it's nowhere near the chuvan keneged the petach of the heichal at all. It's almost entirely in the southern side, because all of the measurements that we gave was between the edge of the mizbeach. As a matter of fact, if you split the heichal, if you split the distance into two, this is a truly hard one. 135 divided by 2 equals $64,000. $67,500. Can you imagine if that was money once upon a time?
Oh,
the $64,000 question?
I wouldn't.
For heaven's sake, you can't pay your McCormick bill with it anymore.
It's still money. Mm-hmm. It's just less money.
Okay, so now you have $67,500.
from the midpoint. If you analyze our numbers here, 67 and a half from the northern wall ends 5 amot into the Mizbeah.
From the northern wall.
From the northern wall. 67 and a half will take you up to the first 5 amot of the Mizbeah. Okay?
That's what
I don't know what that picture, but that is what it should be showing. Right, yeah. Correct. So that means that there's no way to make this work according to Rabbi Yehuda. If Rabbi Yehuda is the putative author of Midah, how does he fit his personal sheet, which has the Mizbeah Memutza, how does he fit that into Midah? It doesn't work.
But he's, then you have middle.
It doesn't matter whether you have room for it or you don't have room for it. What matters is that we've measured the room for it in a Mishnah, in Midos, which he ostensibly wrote. And therefore, he's writing a Mishnah which is against the Shita. Forget about where we would have the room.
The reason why we see it can't be the same author is because if it was centered...
The reason that it can't be the same author is because 67 and a half, as measured here, takes us to not the midpoint of the Mizbeach, which it should, if you hold that the Mizbeach is Mimutza, but rather to the first 5 amot of the northern part of the Mizbeach. So obviously the Mizbeach was not Mimutza. No further discussion is necessary. So numbers are numbers. Yes, yes, Fox moved that. A moment ago. Okay. Doesn't even need to be examined anymore. Kvar horazaken. Okay. So now, Scott is asking, but so what?
Right.
Okay, that's an odd question to ask, but so what? No, Scott is asking, but so what? Because, okay, so it won't be Rabbi Yehuda. It could be maybe, but you could still see. Because we only had 5 amot of the Mizbeach. 5 amot of the Mizbeach. Now, let's try to figure this out. Yeah, 5 amot of the Mizbeach. The 5 amot of the Mizbeach include an amma of Yesod and an amma of Sovet. Ooh, which means that the upper area, the 5, remember, the midpoint of the Azara, Richie, the midpoint of the Azara had how much of the opening of the Heichal to its right and how much to the left? Straight line drawn to the midpoint. How wide is the door?
20
wide?
No, 10.
Thank you. And half of 10 is?
5.
Uh-huh. So you had now the midpoint would have left you 5 amot of doorway, right? So we said, okay, fine. But it's all covered with the Mizbeach. Because the Mizbeach was 9. Oh. But only from 3 on was the Mizbeach 9. Right? Because the first amma was an amma you saw that didn't go high. It was only an amma high. It didn't go 9 ammas high. The other one was Sove, which only went 5 ammas high, so it didn't cover over the door of the Heichal. So it's only 3 ammas, but 3 ammas still leaves 2 by a half.
Only had one line of sight,
only had a half. Right, so now you have 2 by a half.
We were not blocked on the half an amma, was blocked on the
Dovev and the... No, nothing was blocked by the...
You said that you'd only see
feet,
you just
went to the bus. No, no, couldn't see. Talking about the door, right? You meant the feet of the door.
I'm going back from the...
You weren't even talking about the Mizbeach. Don't give me
it.
No, you weren't, because the Mizbeach was meaningless. If you were, you're worse off than before.
In which case,
yeah, so don't be referring to the Mizbeach. It's bad enough that you're referring to the Heichal. So we now have a half an amma by 2 ammas in which it still ought to be visible, according to this cheshbon. But the question is that what we need to make it not Rabbi Yehuda? Or just is the point that it's not Memurchaz? Okay, we'll get back to that because the Rashi has a number of variants of how he was taught and how he thinks to learn it. But in any event, certainly it can't be that the Mizbeach is Memutza. That's the Gemara's question. You say the Mizbeach is Memutza. Isar Kedai Rechminas Rabbi Yehuda. Mizbeach Beemtza Azara Mimashkachatlei. It is certainly not Beemtza Azara. So the Isar Kedai Rech. Let's now complete the question. The Isar Kedai Rechminas Rabbi Yehuda. If you're going to try to tell me that this Mishnah was written by Rabbi Yehuda, according to this, the Mizbeach was in the Dorom almost entirely, except for those 5 amot. Therefore, it cannot have been written by Rabbi Yehuda. So who then would have said that it needs to be lower on the east side because you can't see through the door? Who was not relying on the blocking of the Mizbeach, but had another problem? Because over here, we're not relying on the blocking of the Mizbeach. That's the part that God wanted to get. He's trying to show that we're not relying on the blocking of the Mizbeach, there's got to be another reason, and that's that extra amma and the ducha. That way we could really close the whole issue over here, right? So if it would be visible, according to this, and you're saying that nonetheless the wall had to be lower, so then it can't be anybody but Elalav, Shmamin, or Eliezer ben Yaakov. Shmamin. It can't be anybody but Eliezer ben Yaakov. Because the only way to achieve that blocking, yes, we could achieve a blocking by Rabbi Yehuda, but it's obviously not Rabbi Yehuda. The way we have it over here, we're not helping anything, because you could still have 2 amot by half an amma, in which you could see the Petach HaYichal. Therefore, it's got to be Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov. Okay? Beautiful. It works out very nicely. So let's just review once again to make sure we have everything clear over here. Let's put ourselves on Har HaZeitim, but not in that way. Vertically.
Vertically. Let's put everybody vertically.
So here we are standing.
The horizontal sounds pretty good. Yeah, let's stand
okay. We're watching, we're looking in the Beit HaMikdash, but we have the magic capability of varying it according to the various shitas, okay? So we first look into that Beit HaMikdash, not according to the shita of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, all right. But we do look in it according to the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. We look through the bottom of the gate, and what do we see right at the bottom of the gate? What's the first thing that catches our attention? The stairs, actually the soreg. Soreg, we see that soreg sticking up out of the ground, and the note that behind that soreg, there are stairs that are going up. And then behind those stairs, we see all those beautiful 15 stairs coming down from the top, from Shar Nikar, all bright and golden, should be coppery, in the sun.
Green.
And no, it says they were Khalil, they were Khalil. Oh, right. Yeah. Well, Khoshis Khalil.
You probably stole the metal tealer. Green
isn't green. That's English translation. Remember that in Hebrew, there's no word for green. That's the Europe County is not green. There's no word for green. The color green, particularly, does not have a Hebrew word. The frequencies between what is in English yellow and green is in Hebrew called yarot. Not in modern Hebrew.
Why
are
you saying there's no green?
It's not easy. It's really not easy.
Is that true for all non-primary colors?
No. Different cultures have different words for color. Some have specific words for specific and others have words that include a broader range. Color, after all, is a rather subjective phenomenon. So in Hebrew, yarot includes yellow and green. If you want to talk about green, then you say yellow. Picardy, like leeks. Leek green. Anyway, now the question is, was Esther a leek or was Esther just a little yellow and John? She's Hadassah. Exactly.
Okay. Which is more green than green.
Which is green. Getting back to our Gemara. So we see the Shar Nikar, but we could see right through that and above that. And what do we see there? We see the stairs, but as we keep going looking up, we hit this big white thing, which wouldn't you know it is that we can't make out that it's a mizbeach. It's a block. We see a white square. It's blocking the door. Now let's switch shitas. Go away from Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Move the mizbeach out of the way. And we'll see the other shitas for the mizbeach, where the kula mizbeach was Tzafon, kula mizbeach was Darom. But let's move the mizbeach at the end of the mizbeach. Leaves open half of the doorway, which is not the shita that it says over here. But there are shitas like that. So now, what would we see? If we're not going according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, if the mizbeach is on the northern side, we see the big white block on half of our field of vision. But then we see that there's still a little bit left on top where we can catch the opening of the door of the Hecha. Move the Mizbeach the other way to the Dorom, and our vision is blocked to the left, and now we see it. We see that little opening to our right. Okay. Now, let's add Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Shita. All of a sudden, forget about the Mizbeach. The level of the stairs, the top stairs, what we see when we stare. There's no way for us to look up and see the entranceway to the Hecha at all, because he lifted the ground up by an additional one Amma, according to Rashi, or an additional 2.5 Ammas, according to the other Shita, that the Duchan went all the way across. And therefore, there's no way that we can make out that doorway. So what do we do? No, but it raised the entire level of the whole, exactly, as you can see there in the picture. The Ma'ala raised the level. According to Rashi, the rest of the Dukhan was on top, but didn't raise the level. According to the other sheet, the whole level was raised.
So what happened then? Two hard views.
The gate was 20.
Right. And you...
And you could see it, and therefore, if it was 20 and a half on the inside, therefore you had to lower the whole wall.
So you could get over and see the top part of the door.
So the top of the wall would now be lower than 20?
No, the top of the wall would be, let's say, 25. But I can still look at the top of the door. So the top of the door was visible above the wall.
The wall could be
30.
Before the wall was lowered, the inside gate or the inside doorway was a maximum point.
Oh, wait. All the gates were 20.
Is there any architect program?
Yeah, actually there is. Barnea can, right? There was a program that was actually available.
They did all this on a
book. Yeah, this is all done. There's that virtual reality program. See, but they do have a virtual reality show. There's a virtual reality program that allows you to walk through the Beit HaMikdash in which you could, what could you do? You could vary.
You could make that penny putt. That's what you can always do, right?
You want to include me in your will? Okay, gentlemen. Time for a brief review. I think we also have a drink this morning.
Oh, yeah?
Mm.
Mantan Amida, he says, Ravuna, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, the Tzan, is Ratna, she might tower of Mea Shoshim Ramesh, Rocha, Mea Shoshim Ramesh, Varba, the Shakota, you, Barba, Mikta Otea, Uma, Yumisham Shod, Dromit, Mizrahiti, Italishkat, and Zirim, Shisham Zirim of Vashlim, Chamayim of Gakim Saran, Shachin Takatadun. Moving on now counterclockwise to Mizrahit Svonit, he, Italishkat, Dira Etim, Shamakonim Baale Mumin, Omdim, Umatim, Beetim, Shkoichish Botalat, continuing counterclockwise up to the 2 o'clock position. Svanit Maravit, he italishkata mitzoraim. Maravit romit on Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Why? Shachakti ma'ita mishameshet. Abba Shaul omer ba, you not in yayim shemen, vi aita nikret lishkat bet shamnaya. And you know what? How can I even start with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov? It's not. Kol haktalim shayusham hayo gavoyin chutz bikot u'mizrach shekone tzorfet hapara u'meid bar ha'mishcha u'mechaven v'ro'e k'neged pitcho shel heichal b'shat hazat hadat. Furthermore, tnan, kol haptachim shayusham gavoyin esrim ama v'rochavan esramot. Furthermore, tnan, lifnim imeno soreg. Furthermore, tnan, lifnim imeno achel esramot shtem esrim ma'alot ayusham rum ma'ala chatziyama shilcha chatziyama v'chamesh esrim ma'alot alot mitocha hayodot mi'ezrat Yisrael ezrat nashim rum ma'ala chatziyama shilcha chatziyama. Furthermore, tnan, ve'en olam luzbech esrim ishtayim ama shtem esrim ma'alot ayusham rum ma'ala chatziyama shilcha chatziyama. Furthermore, tnan, Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov omer ma'ale hayta sham govoa ama v'ducha nutan aleha. Now, putting all of the above items together, it's very obvious that he amit bishlem and rebbe zvin Yaakov behind the ichsele pitcha eliyamad rabbanan heika pagri amta the mitchazil pitcha begave, and there was no need to lower the wall. El alav shmamina rebbe zvin Yaakov. Ravada barav omar says not necessarily. Why can't it be Rebbe Yehuda? The Tanya Rebbe Yehuda omer mizbeach memutza. ועומד באמצע הזרה בשלושים ושתיים עמות היו לו, עשר עמות כנגד פתחו של היכל, which blows away any possibility of seeing the היכל, because you add the 9 of that מזבח to the 13 and a half over there, then you're already well above the 20. And there was an additional יוד אלף עמות לצפון, יוד אלף עמות לדרום, נמצא מזבח מכוון כנגד היכל וכות עליו. Wait a second, יסק דאגד מי זה רבי יהודה? Mizbeach b'emtza Azra doesn't work. What's not? Kol Azra ita aurech 187 arocha 135 mina mizrach l'marav 187. How do you get that? Makom d'yisad ragle Yisrael 11 ama. Makom d'yisad ragle Kohanim another 11. Mizbeach itself is 32. Bein olam mizbeach is another 22. The Echal itself is 100. Add an additional 11, which is achore beta kaporet, gives you 187. Min ha-dorom le-tzafon, you have 135. Kevesh ha-mizbeach, first of all, takes out a big chunk of 62. You have min ha-mizbeach le-tabot, 800, makom ha-tabot, esrim, arba min ha-tabot ha-shulchanot, arba min ha-shulchanot ha-nanasin, arba min ha-nanasin la-kotel, and then you have another, then you have ben ha-nanasin la-kotel, azara was another, shmona, then you have another 25 or 21 that you split bein hakevesh lakotel and makom hananasim. Now, isak adaita midos Rebbe Yehuda he mizbeach beemtza hazara mimashkachet la or ruben mizbeach b'dorom koi. Therefore, the only solution is that it's going on Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, which proves midot is Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. What was your question?